Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever. And, oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening, my name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long swim, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Troy, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? I'm making New Year's resolutions. What about you?
I have been making them. I have been keeping them. I have been forgetting them. I watch a lot of different sites, both on Facebook and Twitter, and it continues to be just one of those things that you can't escape in January. New Year's resolutions, all the credit unions saying, hey, you know, what resolutions have you broken now that it's January 8th? You last week said you had a great list of resolutions that people make but don't keep.
Yes. So, and I thought it might be kind of fun today if we would just sort of talk about that. Do you know that technically only about 8% of people actually keep their resolutions?
I would agree with that because I never keep mine. So, I mean, I can believe that. Absolutely. Yes. Single digits, I absolutely believe it.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting that somewhere about 40% of Americans actually make New Year's resolutions, and I figure the other 60% have said, I have failed so miserably on all the other times, why should I bother going through
why
a
bother?
Process that's never going to work? Yeah.
Exactly. What are some of the ones that people make that they don't keep?
Well, first of all, before I get there, what I wanted to do is just, I thought, let's sort of, okay, well, like one thing is diet.
Yep.
They make resolutions for diet. They might even make resolutions for healthier lifestyle, but doesn't necessarily pan out. So you could be exercising or diet. That is a very big one. Another one is financial success. They want to accomplish something from a financial standpoint, and they they have this grand idea that they're going to do that. It doesn't pan out. There are individuals who make resolutions about new jobs that they think that they might want to acquire. They may want to be in a relationship. So it's kind of interesting that you make a New Year's resolution that you're going to be in relationship in the coming year. That's pretty interesting,
well,
isn't it?
I love all of them because I'm going through those things going check, check, check. Diet, always. Always. I will be 47 this year. I've taken great pains to stay thin. I don't eat bad stuff when I can eat healthy stuff, but I am a Southerner. I love chicken fried steak. I love fried chicken. I love all the temptations of the Mexican food and things that occur here, barbecue in South Texas. But yes, that's one that I have made. The other one you said was about wellness and fitness. I did buy some new shoes at the San Marcos Tanger Outlet Malls. I've been running back on my regular running schedule pretty regularly since the beginning of the year. And then what was the third one? Oh, jobs.
I talked about the health, the diet, and the relationship was another one.
Yeah, well, relationships was the last one, but a new job
The financial, right.
Financial,
well, you know,
financial stuff, yeah,
yeah. So if you look at it, it's like it's losing weight. Sometimes people want to increase more education, so they might say something like they want to read a book. Another one might be is that I want to capture more of my creative moments during the time. I want to try something new. Maybe there's a bucket list item, so they try to put on a bucket list. They want to try to acquire a talent that they didn't have before. Maybe somebody says, hey, I think I want to sing. So they might try out for American Idol,
ooh,
you know, or they might try out for a – sing song or something of that nature.
Yes. Well, listen, you're absolutely right. Troy is absolutely right. They might do something like that. They might take up a new hobby or something like that. I am always intrigued by the early part of the year. We all do this. We all make plans. The financial component that you talked about, I'm right there. I did not enjoy the 3 years of the American recession last year. When we put Emma in charge, things kind of took off. Things are still going very, very well, but I agree with you. I'm trying to make good financial decisions. I'm trying to make good, household budget decisions. I'm starting to think about, you know, how many houses do I really have left? I mean, I'm living in one house now for 10 years. Am I going to buy one last house to retire in? Am I going to downsize to a rental property somewhere in, you know, downtown San Antonio and spend my summers someplace else? It's crazy to think about all those things. But because you mentioned American Idol as we go to the break,
yes,
you and I agree on lots of things. We disagree on lots of things. But one of the things we agree on, you and I both love Kelly Clarkson, do we not?
Yes, we do. I love Kelly.
We do love Kelly Clarkson. Hey, folks, after the break, we're going to talk about tonight, American Idol. I think their 13th or 14th season. Just an American TV cultural standard. It absolutely has earned that.
They're becoming the Gunsmoke.
They are. You don't forget them.
Longest running television show of all times with Miss Kitty and Doc and Festus and, you know.
Meanwhile, all the 25-year-old and unders are going, what? Doc and Kitty? Hey, folks, when we get back from the break, we are going to talk about American Idol, but we are going to talk about the Target hack. I don't know about you, Troy. I go to Target. I go there several times a month. This whole situation has hit me very close to home, not in a financial way, but just in a branding and a lifestyle online way. And we're going to talk about it all right after this.
You think you got the best of me? Think you've had the last laugh? Bet you think that everything good is gone? Think you left me broken down? Think that I'll come running back? Maybe you don't know. You're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you brighter. Put the fever lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That is right. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right here on The Power of Performance. If your brand was a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Troy, you and I both love Kelly Clarkson. Tonight, American Idol kicks off for, I think it's 13th or 14th iteration. Do you remember anything about the first season? Did you watch it the first season? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I did. I watched it the first season, and it was interesting because I really felt that although that kid Justin was okay, the female talent really had overshadowed it. And Kelly, in my opinion, she was for me much like the way when I clearly heard Carrie Underwood for the first time, I said, this is going to be a person who's going to make it. It's going to work.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was just one of those I don't know. I love Kelly Clarkson. To this day, it breaks my heart that she hangs her hat in Tennessee and not right here in the great state of Texas where she is from. I did not watch it the first season. I don't remember when I picked it up. It was 2006 or 2005. I was actually traveling to a credit union up in Cherry Point, Michigan, and I was staying at a hotel at the airport. And you know how it is, Troy. You get to a hotel, you start thumbing through the channels or whatever. And there was somebody singing the covering the Elton John version of the Circle of Life from The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, the crowd went crazy, and I was like, man, this is American Idol. Okay, this is cool. I didn't know they you know, covered songs and reimagined songs and stuff like that. So I just think it's interesting. We used to do this show on Friday, but now that we do it on Wednesday, that's when they debut American Idol. Very, very different than the way they debuted it back on June 11th on 2002. It was a summer show that just broke all kinds of records, and I'm glad we get to enjoy Kelly Clarkson on the show. She's been on the show a lot. We've played a lot of her songs on the show. Hey, folks, we talk about the future. We talk about the past. We talk about the present on this show. Before you boldly go into the future, make sure you go marquee.com, a great family business that didn't just survive the Great Recession we were just talking about. It actually thrived during the Great Recession. A great family business, Jay, Judd, and John. Give them a call or find them online, gomarquee.com. All right, hey, folks, listen, Target hack.
No, we can't go to Target. We go back to resolutions first, and then we can go to Target.
Oh, okay, resolutions. Go back to resolutions.
Yeah, because here's what we did. So we talked about the resolutions didn't work. Now, here is how resolutions can work, and I'm going to relate it to business and to what the leadership would be from individuals who listen to our show who have the responsibility of doing that. The most important thing that has to happen with a resolution is no different than in any goal that you set in an organization. It must align with the values and the direction of that organization. If you haphazardly make a resolution that does not meet with something that you are committed to, something that you are going to dedicate resources to, then you're going to be in a sense of frustration. And it's no different than in the working world where you go to a conference and you see something that sounds great and come back and tell everybody this is what you're going to do, and you've not planned to allocate resources. It's not part of your culture. It's not part of your structure. It's not part of anything. So there are some very easy ways in which folks could make resolutions or could set goals from a strategic standing point and actually make them work. And in any concept, when you are setting a goal, you have to use that SMART formula. You have to make sure that it is specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's realistic, and it has a time frame. So most folks, when they set up their New Year's resolutions, they just make it kind of very generic. They don't put a specific time. If they say they want to read a book or if they say they want to lose weight, they don't identify necessarily how much or by when. And they have not figured out a plan in actually making that happen. So part of that is once you get that structure, when you're ready to set the goals, you want to keep the goals simple. You don't want them to be too complicated. And you want to make sure that it's tangible. Again, that's the relating aspect to relating back to the business or relating to the individual. The more ambitious that you are in the resolution, the more effort you have to put towards a process to actually accomplish the goal. And that would just kind of make sense, you know, as you would kind of go through that entire process. Does some of that make sense to you?
Of course so far? It does. And I think we all do this. Like I said, we live by this calendar model. You know, you have the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and I agree with you. I think what makes it complicated is that sometimes we can't anticipate the things that happen that impact our members and customers and clients. I mean, I told you last week, this Target thing totally surprised me. I didn't think it was a big deal. I mean, I thought, okay, so yeah, well, the latest company just got hacked into. What's the big deal? And then my bank sends me an envelope with a new debit card in it and tells me, hey, Jason, we don't care what you do. We don't care how little you use this card. We don't care if you never come to Target again, but you're not going to have the same card you've had for the past – for the past 15 years. And I thought, well, they probably didn't see that one coming. And so I forgave them that little, you know, historical anomaly. But I do agree with you that, you know, we talk about conferences on this show all the time. People get on my case because I call them the credit union conference clan. But what I'm saying is there is a group of people in our marketplace. They say the same things. They do the same things. They go to the same conferences. Troy, I think what we've always done on this show is try to think different than that and try to figure out how we work our way through this ever-changing marketplace that is the banking marketplace circa today, which is the 15th of January. We're in the middle of January. Troy, doesn't that seem like just we were talking about the Christmas break?
I know, really. It's amazing.
It is. Well,
but did you also – but I want to tell you one of the things about the Target breach to chat about. I know that the one thing for Target, what it did was it raised again the consciousness of the need for this privacy and security and the protection. And what it, I think is eventually – what has to happen is these retailers who are charged with the responsibility to protect – their data, they have to receive more punitive measures in order to say, yes, I can safeguard it. Can you imagine what it would be like if your bank just said, you know, let me just print out a bunch of member statements and
yeah.
stick them in the dumpster or just or go to the top of the tallest building that you know in your area and just say, you know, I'm just going to float them out on the street and just kind of let people see whatever it is that they want to see.
I
guarantee you we would be shut down the very same day or the very next day if that happened. And there would be heads rolling. There would be a big public uproar. There would be a ton of this. But what sort of occurred is we've sort of become immune almost to some degree to this breach. Did you even know that that Neiman Marcus
I know about Neiman Marcus. I saw that of all places on – you know, sometimes you're watching TV at night and your favorite show ends at 10 o'clock and accidentally you see – the local news, and they show a picture of the Neiman Marcus over at North Star Mall. Well, number one, Troy, I don't shop at Neiman Marcus. I mean, I'm good. Well, I was like, well, wipe the brow. That one's not a big deal because I've never been
I'm
there.
Good.
Yep, me too. I'm good with that one.
It's
like, I'll go to Kohl's probably 16 times this year, but I haven't been to Neiman Marcus once in a decade. But anyway, no, I agree with you. There is an obvious connection between – the bank brand that we choose and the life that we lead. And when we get back from our second break, that's what I want to start this conversation. I did not think – because last week we didn't talk about the Target breach all that much. I said, oh, my branch was crowded. That's unique. And I think that very same day or the day after, Target came out and said, no, it wasn't 40 million people. It was 70 million people. And I thought to myself, oh, you mean everybody? Everybody that's ever paid with a debit card there, I saw the full-page ad in the New York Times yesterday. I am always curious about these little blips in the radar that upset a Target brand marketing strategy or a post-Christmas, you know, sale season or whatever. We got about 11 minutes left on the show. When we get back, I do want to get into the Target breach, because I think it has impacted lots of consumers that call themselves customers but are actually members of credit union brands. And we will do it all right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use
where the talk is hot, but the hosts are?
Handsome, strikingly handsome, shamefully. Someone else got cheated because they look so darn good, but definitely not humble handsome.
Always that and so much more. All right, hey, listen, Troy, the Target hack. I spoke to Kathy Volkman over at Cloverbelt Credit Union in Wausau, Wisconsin yesterday. She could not be on the show today because of previous commitments, but she said what she found interesting about the Target hack was she had had a member come in and say, it wasn't that my identity was stolen at Target, it was stolen out of my mailbox. Somebody stole this member's new debit card and then the PIN number that arrived a couple days later, and the police show up at this credit union and say, yeah, the people are breaking into mailboxes or, you know, opening mailboxes and taking the cards and the PIN numbers. And I thought, this proves that this whole Target thing hits very, very close to home. And, I mean, if you know, you do a lot of strategic meetings and strategic thinking. My question to you is this going to ignite a revolution in payment systems, or have we been in a revolution of payment systems and I just haven't paid attention to it?
Realistically, it's not the payment systems, I think. I don't necessarily think there'll be a revolution in the payment systems per se. It's because the system itself is not what creates the breach. The breach is the way in which the individuals manage and control the data that they get. So if it were about payment systems, that'd be locked down already. But it's the way in which they hold that information on their computer system. For instance, we do not freely access the web in our business, in our workplace. All of the websites that we open have to be business related and ones that we are comfortable and confident are known. Is it a little complicated for our staff? Yes. But one of the ways we solve that is we have a Wi-Fi set up internally that employees could actually Wi-Fi information, access, and number of individuals receive iPads so that they're able to access it. But the point I'm making is that you have to lock it down. We don't even allow you to bring in a thumb drive and actually insert it into the computer. You have to have very specific drives that you have been personally issued that you use so that we track the information that comes and goes. That's the level of detail. That's where I see the issue is going to be, is how they maintain the integrity of the data, not the system that uses it.
Exactly. It's a long time. You know, we've done, like I said last week, we're in our fifth year of broadcasting this show, and I wouldn't expect you to remember this show, but many, many years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we had Marshall Papke from a gigantic credit union out in Utah, and we asked him about, do you let your employees access social media sites while they're at work, while they're what you and I would call on the clock? And he said, you know, it's like a basketball game. People know where the stripes are. They know what's inbounds. They know what's out of bounds, and we trust them to play the game the right way. This was the first thing I thought about when this Target thing happened. It was like, I am more worried about the pizza delivery guy that I give my credit card and PIN number and security code to have pizza delivered to my house. What if he's had a bad night and his manager fires him and he's got, you know, 15 credit cards and an ability to buy stuff online and go, you know, move money around and stuff like that? It was still very, very personal from a banking brand to me, and it sounds like what you're saying is it's really not about some revolutionary moment. We just have to expect the unexpected.
Well, yeah, and you plan for that, and that's the reason that you spend a lot of time ensuring the integrity of your data. And if these retailers spend as much time doing it as the financial world does, then we would have less problem. Because, see, here's where the issue becomes. Right now, there's no skin in the game for Target. I mean, Target, right. Yes, from a consumer side said, okay, guess what? We'll give anyone who's affected a life lock or some sort of credit monitoring or something. But they never came out with the processes to tell you how you were going to do it. But who is the people who suffer? The financial institutions, because why? We have to spend our money reissuing our card that worked perfectly until you screwed it up.
And that's what I mean. Their problem now becomes yours. They don't care.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This whole thing has been very, very interesting to me. The Target brand has been, I'm sure Walmart's sitting back going, how do you like us now? You know, look, hey, come to Walmart. We're doing just fine. But we look at this show as branding and performance. And, I mean, it's always going to be retail, Target and Walmart, technology, Microsoft and Apple. And I don't know. It's just been something that I've been interested in. The other thing I want to ask you about, moving away from the Target hack, is the concept of time. You do a lot of, again, meetings and strategic planning, and you manage the business of a very, very big financial brand out in Charleston, South Carolina. I jotted down something the other day while I was on a conference call, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I jotted down, is 30 minutes the new hour? Because if somebody calls you and says, I want you to watch an hour-long video, you and I would go, give me a break. I'm not going to spend an hour watching that or an hour watching a webinar. 30 minutes, though, you and I have done a 30-minute show for a long time. It's kind of the perfect balance. And yet, while I don't see any changes in this show from a time perspective, I wanted to ask you, as a busy banking professional, what do you think when I say, is 30 minutes the new hour?
I think it's probably reasonable to consider that we try to get as much business done in a more succinct time frame. Technology has assisted us tremendously in being able to accomplish that. For me, my new hour would be this, to say an hour to watch a video. If it doesn't grab me in 20 seconds, I would
say
that 20 seconds is my new hour. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, so I think my new hour might be indicative of my activity. So when I go to, and for instance, when I go to the spa, I want my 90 minutes, you know, to really last 3 days. So you see, there's a whole perspective to time depending upon what the activity is.
Oh, gosh. Hey, folks, you know what? When we started doing this show, we did it based on the fact that Troy and I used to have some great phone conversations, and Troy's a very funny guy. And that is a funny remark. Hey, folks, we are closing in on 80,000 listens, which last time I checked is, what, Troy, twice as many people that went to see Anchorman 2? I don't know. We keep...
Yeah, and it cost us
$39 a month or whatever. Hey, folks,
yeah,
listen. American Idol kicks off tonight. I stopped watching it because I got sick of the sameness of it. I think American Idol is in its third iteration. It was new. It was cool. It was reimagined, and it had nothing that reminded people of the first part when they replaced all the judges. But I might watch the finals this year. For $1 million, I couldn't tell you who won last year, so I don't even know. We talked about the Target hack. Folks, if you are getting a lot of calls and members and customers in your lobbies and contact centers, what a great opportunity it is to show them how helpful and thoughtful and cordial your staff is. I think this is going to be one of those wake-up moments for banks and credit unions. How do we deal with this unexpected turn of events? And, of course, Troy, we talked about, is 30 minutes the new hour? Some people listen to our show, which is 30 minutes, and it feels like a lifetime of agony when they hear this show. But we do it every Wednesday. Hey, Troy, man, you have a great week out
yep.
there.
Thank you.
In Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines, and that's been true.
And true here. It's a beautiful day here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. This has been the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Tune in next week. We're going to talk about, Troy, you'll love this, the next generation branch over at GTE Financial. Touchscreen, talk to a person by touching the screen, on-screen member advocates. Troy, you'll love this. This is going to be one of our most exciting shows of the new year.
Ooh, good. Thanks.
Hey, folks, join us.
Complete disclaimer. Okay, this would only be like the third show of the new year. So, yes, it will become the most exciting show because we did this one all by ourselves. So,
That's true.
Can only go up from here. So I don't really know what else to say to the folks who listen.
Well,
so,
Troy, when you and I do the show by ourselves, we know that the best way to make the next show better is to add a guest.
Yeah, definitely. That would be very good. Yeah, so we do that.
Hey, that's true. Hey, listen, folks. I don't know if 30 minutes is the new hour. The show goes by very quickly when Troy and I are doing it. But if it is, we'll be ready. We love talking about time and generational marketing and unexpected realities that occur in every brand and every business. Until next we speak, this has been the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, what if your brand were actually a band? Would people show up and watch and listen to what you do, and would you leave them wanting more? Until next week, we'll talk to you soon.